You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. You join us on Sunday's edition of the podcast where we're looking ahead to the action at Leopardstown. Three superb graded races to come from Leopardstown. We've also got one from Fontwell to bring you. Hereford have been forced to abandon their Sunday car due to a frozen track, and Fontwell are inspecting at 8 a.m. on Sunday morning. So fingers crossed they get the go-ahead. You'll be able to hear all of the action, however little there may be, on Racing Radio from 12:50 p.m. on Sunday afternoon in the company of Mick Norton, Paddy Aspel and Rory DeLaghi. But ahead of all that, joining myself, Sam Norris, on Sunday's version of the podcast, a very warm welcome to Will Smith. How are you, Will?
I'm very good, thank you. How are you?
Good, yeah. In good form, thank you. Enjoyed the racing over the course of the last few days. And on Saturday, of course, Ascot unfortunately abandoned their card. We were very much looking forward to the Clarence House, but Haydock put on some good action themselves.
Some cracking action, yeah. A couple of standouts. Obviously, the good old new one managed to win that race for the third time in a row, the Champion Hurdle Trial. Did what he does, really, around Haydock. He ground it out on sort of soft ground, and I don't think he's suddenly sprung himself any further into the Champion Hurdle picture other than what he already has been at various stages throughout his career, really. But he's won another good race, and all credit to Nigel Twiston-Davies and Sam Twiston-Davies. They rightly so, they love him, and he keeps doing it for them.
Yeah, it hasn't thrown up too many Champion Hurdle winners, for all that it's a Champion Hurdle trial, but it is a good race in its own right, and the new one's very much made it his own over the last few years. As you rightly say, I don't think he's unlikely anyway to figure in the Champion Hurdle betting. What did you make of Klein? That was quite an interesting run to only finish a length back. He was won at a more loftier price, and has ran well for a long, long way, and really, really made the new one dig deep.
Yeah, he did. I mean, all credit to Adam Wedge and the ride he gave him. Presumably him and Evan Williams got together beforehand and thought, well, you know, we stayed 2 miles three in the fog last time. No one really saw it, but clearly he did stay well, because apparently he was towards the rear of the field three out when he won the handicap at Haydock on the 17th of December. So, look, he's a horse who he was... I mean, you felt at the top of the home straight he was ready to be swallowed up, and Lamy Serge came there and sort of did what he does, really, which was travel well and then not quite go through with it. I think Klein could be interesting for the big two-mile handicap hurdle at Newbury in 3 weeks' time. He obviously won't, because he didn't win this, he won't have a penalty for that.
Yes.
And he looks fairly well-treated, given the fact that he's finished in amongst the new one, Lamy Serge. You know, he's on a mark now of 143, and he's in amongst some sort of 150, 160 rated horses. So if he's none the worse for these exertions, then he could be an interesting price for that race.
Yeah, absolutely. A little bit earlier on in the day as well, we had a Supreme Novices trial. That was won by Neon Wolf, who was the odds-on favourite for Harry Fry. Did it really nicely as well, as it's gone on to score by best part of nine lengths in the end, running on really strongly towards the end of that race. Firstly, we'll talk about this race, a very nice performance there from Neon Wolf. Maybe a slight disappointment from the likes of Kraganok, who you perhaps expect his finish a little bit closer. But he's probably beat the right horse in Elgin and beat him comfortably, really.
Yes, absolutely. Kraganok, yeah, I mean, Kraganok's probably had his limitations exposed somewhat up in class. He's a very good, a good sort of novice hurdler for Mark Wolford, like soft ground, and he's just probably got up into the class where it's just slightly beyond him. But, you know, all credit to Connections for having a go. As for Neon Wolf, that was, for me, one of two performances of the day, really. He was incredibly impressive. I mean, there was, again, another time at the top of the straight where you just felt that Elgin was there and Wayne Hutchinson was ready to press the button, and Elgin was going to do him for a bit of toe. But actually what happened, Neon Wolf, Noel Feely squeezed him and asked him to go again, and he really lengthened down the straight. and his time was 2 seconds quicker than the new one.
Right.
And various sectionals that I've seen have suggested that he's run an absolute cracker. So, I mean, whether soft ground is an important thing to him, he has a bit of a knee, a sort of pronounced knee action. You know, Cheltenham day one, obviously he'll be in the supreme market. You'd fancy that it's always good to soft ground. It's always on the softer side on day one. On that evidence, certainly on time-based analysis, I would put no one off having a bet on him at 10-1 for the Supreme.
Yeah, absolutely. 10-1 for the Supreme Novices, then the price of Neon Wolf behind Moonracer at 5-1. Finian's Oscar 7-1, and it's eights or bigger the rest. Just while we're on the Supreme, Will, it looks a wide-open race this year. We had sort of Min and Altior dominating the market from a long way out last year at Cheltenham, and it was those two who ended up coming to the fore in the race proper. But this year, we've sort of seen challengers come to the fore and then fade away. The likes of Jenkins, who was obviously well touted for the race, hasn't really gone on to realise his potential. Even Moonracer, who has only beaten Ballyandy twice this year, who's not exactly gone on to frank the form elsewhere. It looks a really wide open renewal, and it hasn't been for the last few years because William Mullins has normally had a really good one. We had Altior last year, who looks a real superstar. So, it's wide open for the festival opener.
It's well wide open. And you'd fancy that, obviously, whatever Willie Mullins decides to pitch at the race will be a lot shorter on the day than what they are now. It's just we have no idea what they are going to be. I mean,
you might have to back a few of them just to get a run.
I mean, he's had various horses that have sort of had been backed at various stages. Soleos Emery is one. He's the one that's shortest now. But there's been the likes of Mellon, you've got Saturnus in there.
Senna Walk
was the favourite from a long, long way out, and then he disappointed at Punchestown. He's had a breathing problem, had a breathing op, I think. Whether they retain his novice status for next year, I think that's the plan. But, you know, he might just be parachuted in at the last minute and go off the 5-1 second favourite to Moonracer, maybe. Who knows? It's an incredibly volatile market at the moment, and there's a lot of scope for things changing. But I genuinely think that we've seen a very, very good horse today in the shape of Neon Wolf. And also we've seen a very, very good horse last weekend beat Crack Mome any second now, Ted Walsh's horse.
Yes.
Whether he goes there, I think the inclination was that he might well be sort of wrapped in cotton wool a little bit at this stage because he's still quite young and backward and raw. But were he to pitch up there, then I wouldn't put anyone back in him as well because, again, his time has been very good and the visual impression has been very, very good. So it's a market that is completely different this year to what it has been in previous years and, you know, all the better for it in some respects because it looks as if it's going to be a really competitive, hotly contested race.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the Supreme Novices hurdle then coming up on the opening day of the festival. One more performance then that we must mention from Saturday, the Peter Marsh Chase, of course, the feature race at Haydock. All the talk pre-race was on Alari or Allery, who's an import from France for Colin Tizard and the Pottses. We'll start with that one. Couldn't really go the pace, didn't look to have a great action over his fences. Just a bit of a disappointment, it has to be said.
Yeah, I mean, the feature of this race was it was run at a pretty decent pace, sort of pound for pound, second for second, was probably the fastest time of the day. So Bristol Demai conclusively proved he stayed because he was taken on up front by a fair few of them. And you looked at the start of the race, there were seven or eight lining up all ready to make the running. And you thought, oh, Bristol Demai, if he doesn't quite stay 3 miles in today, it's definitely not going to be his day. But it's absolutely... I mean, he's tanked through the race. And then at the top of the straight, again, you felt Daryl Jacob was what was he holding on to? You know, was the Targo Trail going to get to him? There were a few others that in behind that sort of had tired falls down the straight, so they clearly had gone too fast, whereas Bristol Demai just hacked all over them and then drew away as he pleased, really. He clearly loves Haydock. He clearly loves soft ground. And on this evidence, I mean, when he ran at Newcastle in the rehearsal chase, it was just his second start of the season, and it looked... on that evidence looked like he didn't quite stay, but maybe he just wasn't fully fit. Maybe he's fully fit now, definitely gets 3 miles. But I do think soft ground and a sort of speed favouring track in some respect like Haydock does suit him. So I wouldn't be, you know, whatever race he goes for at Cheltenham. I know he ran a cracker in the JLT last year behind Black Hercules to finish second, but I don't think that track really plays to his strengths. So while it was a very notable performance, he wouldn't be on my radar for Cheltenham.
Okay, Bristol at the Mine then absolutely massacred them in the Petermarsh Chase, winning by 22 lengths to score the feature race at Haydock on Saturday. We'll leave it there then and move on to some of Sunday's racing now, beginning with the 2 o'clock at Fontwell. They are inspecting at 8 a.m, so it may well be that we don't get any action at Fontwell. Fortunately, the next three races are from Leopardstown, where the outlook looks much more positive. But we begin with this Fontwell Park 2 o'clock race. It's a handicap hurdle over 2 miles and 5 furlongs. 10 runners are down to contest this at time of recording. Anyone leaping off the page here, Will?
Yeah, there's a few sort of lower down the weights that took my eye. Theatre Bar for Dan Skelton. Dan Skelton had a few horses sort of run poorly on Saturday, but he's had enough winners or horses run well in the last couple of weeks to suggest that his string are in okay form. He inherited a fair few horses from Tom Simmons in the ownership, the same ownership as Theatre Bar over the course of the close season, and he pitched this one into his first run for the stable at Sedgefield back in early November, where he won really well off a mark of 1.15. The market spoke quite strongly for him through most of the day and then drifted out again on course, but he won pretty cosily and won nicely on that occasion. He's gone up £6 on that evidence. It's obviously going to be very soft testing ground. It was good to soft that day at Sedgefield, but he... previous to that, he'd run crackers on soft or heavy ground. Now, crucially, what he wore on that occasion on his first run for the stable was a first time tongue tie, so on previous evidence when with Tom Simmons he struggled just to get home in some of his races, so maybe there was a breathing problem there. That's been rectified. There's the dreaded bounce factor to worry about, but it might give us a reason or a hope that he might be slightly overpriced as a result. He looks like being a worthy favourite. Honourable mention for Little Boy Baru, Susie Smith's a horse who is shaping as if he's come back down to a mark off what he can win off, and would be really interesting if strong in the market. But I do think that Theatre Bar is going to be a strong rival.
Okay, Will's selections then in the race at Fontwell Park, then their 2 o'clock contest. We move on to the action at Leopardstown now, beginning with their 2.10 and three fiercely competitive graded races to come. We begin with the Grade 3 Novices Chase at 2.10. 2 mile, 3 furlong is the trip for this. Just 6 runners have lined up to contest this, but all the usual leading lights of Ireland are represented, Will.
Yes, they are. Obviously, Willie Mullins, main leading light, York Hill, is a horse who I incredibly like. I think he last year he won the Tolworth, and a lot of people took note of that performance. The form has worked out well of that, and then he went on to produce one of the performances of the festival by winning the Neptune, beating Yanworth. It wasn't so much the bare form of that race that was striking, because behind Yanworth there are some good horses that finished in behind. Probably not world beaters, and Yanworth admittedly is a good horse himself and is fairly prominent in the champion hurdle market, but it was just the way he won it. I mean, I think Ruby could have, the way he tanked through the race, the way he was able to go the pace that they were going, and then the way he was just able to lengthen clear, really, and he didn't do a huge amount once he hit the front as well, so that was slightly misleading. Maybe he could have won by a hell of a lot further, and I think he could travel in a much, much better race. Now, he went to Aintree after that and produced probably the performance of the season, because he did so many things wrong in that race. So many things. I mean, he was keen. Paul Townend had a devil of a time trying to settle him. So in an effort to settle him, he sent him to the front. He was still keen. He didn't jump fluently as a result of being sent to the front. And then all the way up the run-in, he looked like he was going to be collared, and all the exertions through the race were going to pay. But you know, he pulled out more. And that, to me, is a sign of a horse with a huge engine. He was disappointed at Punchestown, but that was at the end of a busy season. So, look, he came out and won his beginner's chase at Fairy House, beating Burgas pretty well. Jumped left on that occasion. This switch back to a left-handed track will be fine for him. And I won't mind admitting that I've been backing him at all prices for the JLT from a long way out. He's down to a price now that I couldn't back him for the JLT, yes, partly because I've put so much money on him already that it would be pointless to. And he's probably a price where I wouldn't advise having a bet on him right now, because, I mean, he might well hack up here and he'll be shorter on the day, but there's just a chance that one or two emerge and he might still be a similar price on the day. So, look, I think he wins here, but he's got some credible rivals in behind him. It's just which way connections go with the rivals in behind him now, because Gangster has run some cracking races, and he looks like he's been campaigned pretty genuinely by Henry de Bromhead. He's got a mark of 1.48 over fences, so he's too high to go for the novice handicap at Cheltenham, so there's no point sort of holding him back and trying to, you know, save a mark or anything. So he'll be there ready to give his running, and I think he could be the one that chases home York Hill.
Okay, York Hill then. Likely to be a very warm order for that 2.10 at Leopardstown, but gets the nod for Will. We move on to the 2.40 then. A handicap chase here. It's a Grade A handicap chase. 2 miles and 5 furlongs is the trip. Just shy of €60,000 on offer to the winner, and it's attracted a talented field, Will.
Yeah, it has. A very good field. I think my idea of the likely winner is Stellar Notion for Henry de Bromhead, Roger Brookhouse's horse, who has been with Tom George and Paul Nicholls. He's had 5 starts for Henry de Bromhead, one on his first start for him actually at Listowel, over 2.3 miles. He's climbed the handicap a bit as a result, and then he's run 2 crackers at Limerick back in October in the Munster National, where he was just beaten by an on song on the day, Tiger Roll, which doesn't always happen. And then he ran a belter in the big valuable 3 mile handicap chase at Leopardstown's Christmas meeting, where he gave them all a target to aim at. He jumped so boldly and went well from the front and just got outstayed really by a couple of quite nicely handicapped stronger stayers. This dropped back to a much more suitable intermediate trip of 2.5 miles on better ground as well. Good to yielding. It's drying out all the time because we've had no rain over there, which is extraordinary for this time of year. I just think everything's set up really nicely for him. His run style leaves him a little bit vulnerable to something. But David Mullins will know him quite well now, and I'd imagine he might well be able to get breathers into him at various stages and allow him to save enough for the finish. So he's the likely winner for me. Honourable mention for Clarkham at the top. I think these are his perfect set of conditions, 2.5 miles, goodish ground. He's been running some okay races on softer ground. Gordon Elliott often pops up with one or two in these valuable races, and often they're ones towards the top of the handicap, ridden by decent claimers. Lisa O'Neill claims £7 off him, and he's a class act in the field, so he could go well.
Okay, but Stellar Notion then gets the vote in that Leopardstown 2.40. The final race on today's podcast then comes up at 3.10. This is a extended handicap hurdle from Leopardstown. It's a Grade B event. 2 miles is the trip. 23 of them lining up here. It looks as though it's going to be going off at breakneck pace, this one, Will.
Yeah, absolutely. And it probably features the sort of most talked about horse of the week really, and probably what might end up being the most talked about horse of the season, because Heartbreak City is currently a very short favourite. Now what price he goes off will be fascinating, because he's incredibly well handicapped. I mean, he finished second in the Melbourne Cup. Obviously before that he'd won the Ebor off a mark of 1.03. God knows what mark he will now have on the flat. Obviously the flat handicapper hasn't reassessed him yet because he hasn't been entered for any flat races as yet, but he could be up to 1.10 quite easily.
Yes.
Now he's got a mark of 1.25 over hurdles. He absolutely hacked up in a handicap hurdle at the Galway Festival off a mark of 1.18. £7 rise for that was really lenient, but he was given a cracking ride by Donna Mailer on that occasion. Donna Mailer's back on board today. He could, in what is one of the most competitive handicap hurdles of the season, he could quite conceivably go off near even money.
Yes.
Equally, it might be a tale of... I mean, he might be weakish in the market. Interestingly, his stablemate, Golden Spear, is quite strong in the market today, and he's another one who could be pretty nicely handicapped, and has some decent handicap hurdle experience recently at Ascot in the valuable race there as well that has been franked since. So it's a fascinating race. It really is. A Heartbreak City could blow it apart, and he's obviously got to go up if he wants to get into the handicaps at Cheltenham, which presumably is the plan. So he might well win, but I do think Golden Spear is a value each way alternative. And dear old Hidden Cyclone will run his race as well. He's a big price at 20-1, and he might well hit the frame.
Okay, Will, siding with the Tony Martin runners then in that 3.10 race at Leopardstown. Just give us a quick recap, if you wouldn't mind, Will, your 4 selections for the action we've previewed on Sunday.
Yeah, so Fontwell, the 2 o'clock, hopefully it goes ahead on heavy, sticky ground. I think Dan Skelton's Theatre Bar can make it 2 out of 2 for the ex-Paul Nicholls trainer. And over at Leopardstown, in the novice chase, the Grade 3 over 2.3 miles, I think York Hill will win. He's not going to be much of a price, but maybe... to try and squeeze a few more pennies out, play the forecast with York Hill to win, Gangster to chase him home. And then in the 2.40, the valuable handicap chase, that run over an extended 2.5 miles, I think Stellar Motion for Henry de Bromhead could well be the one to chase home, with Clarkham as an each-way alternative. And in the 3.10, the valuable handicap hurdle features probably the handicap snip of the season in Heartbreak City, second in the Melbourne Cup. He'll probably go on and win it, but he's not really a backable price for me. I think his stablemate, Golden Spear, could be a nice value each-way alternative, with an honourable mention for dear old Hidden Cyclone up the top.
Thank you very much. There we are, the thoughts of Will Smith ahead of Sunday's action, and you can hear every single race live on William Hill's Racing Radio from 12:50 p.m. on Sunday, with Mick Norton, Paddy Asper and Rory Delaghi in the studio. My thanks to Will Smith for his selections ahead of this. You've been listening to the Daily Racing Podcast.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.